Are you ready to cultivate confident, resilient, and mentally strong dancers? Introducing Lauren Ritchie's Mental Skills Masterclasses, designed to build dancers from the inside out. Join them live and online for a transformative journey where each month, dancers will dive deep into a different mental skill, including confidence, growth mindset, motivation, resilience, and stress regulation. In these engaging one-hour sessions, you will learn, reflect, and practice personalized mental skills, exercises, and techniques that you can immediately apply to your training, performances, and everyday life. This program is perfect for dancers age 12 and above who are committed to growth, curiosity, and community. Dancers can log on individually or as dance teams. And don't worry if the live classes don't align with your schedule, as sessions will be recorded and available online for viewing at your convenience. Visit www.withlauren.ca or follow the link below for more details and grab your information package today. Hello and welcome to The Background Dancer. I'm your host, Jason Yup. Thank you for joining me with our community of passionate dance contributors from around the world and across different fields. In this weekly podcast, I offer educational conversations and insightful tips to help you better understand all things offstage about this curious art form. This episode, we begin our foray into media and talk about dance journalism and what it means to be an editor in dance with Melinda Gaskin. Hello, Melinda. Welcome to The Background Dancer. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much, Jason. I'm really excited.
Well, just to give everyone a little context, I had the pleasure of working with Melinda when she was undergoing her Master's of Fine Arts degree back at the Hong Kong Academy for Performing Arts. It's been quite a while now, and she has moved on to much bigger, much better things. So just to begin with, Melinda, what exactly is an editor? Because that's what you are right now, and that's what you're doing with the HK Dance magazine. So kick things off for us, please.
Categories, right, depending on the industry, whether that's like digital, video, but in my case, that would be writing. So I'll focus on that side of editing. And within the editorial and magazine industry, an editor might not only be limited to editing articles and written works and selecting certain topics to focus on for our content, but they themselves can also be writing and editing their own work, as well as the work within their team. So that means reviewing, reading, rereading articles, and trying to look at them from different perspectives and lenses till you find that right angle or voice to best communicate what it is you want to say.
You have had a background in dance training, choreography as well, and now you've transitioned into an editor. So for you, who is becoming a dance editor most suitable for?
Well, I've always had writing in my own practice ever since actually I was a kid. Like, I have kept all my journals and diaries. So it's always been something that I've enjoyed doing. And then where I found myself merging that with dance was probably, well, when I became more serious about dance. So in my teenage years, I would start journaling, simply sometimes writing things that I need to remember about my dance classes. And then later on in university, it went a lot deeper into reflective writing, researching, reviews. So I think the first thing for anyone who's interested in being a dance editor is that you have to love dance, live and breathe the world of dance. And beyond that, you also have to have an affinity for reading and writing. Because I've met many dancers in my life who love writing, and it naturally feeds into their dance practice, similar to what I was saying. For me, journaling, reflecting, documenting, or reviewing other people's work. But I've also met dancers who know that writing isn't for them. I've met like friends who say, I hate writing. And that's okay, because everyone has their own way of digesting and documenting their practice, and it doesn't always have to equate to writing. So I think that being said, it's important to notice what other skills or forms you naturally merge into your dance practice, because it could be a creative outlet that leads to a journey alongside or after your dance career. So going back to who might be suitable as a dance editor, aside from those things of having a passion in dance and in reading and writing, I think specifically creative writing for a dance editor is really important, because that aspect of creative writing really binds the two art forms of dance and writing.
Now, speaking of dance backgrounds, you starting writing since you were young, growing up and now also completing both bachelor's as well as master's, what aspects of your dance training, your dance background, have actually assisted you in your current work?
Yeah, aside from going back to like my childhood and just that aspect of creativity, I think in specifically my training, different styles of dance, starting with ballet has definitely instilled that element of discipline in me and that importance of time management, because those things are important when you're in this kind of industry. It's never good to be late for a ballet class, and it's never good to be submitting an article late either. So you learn those things pretty early on, and I think those are good skills to have. Other things would be studying different dance styles. I've studied contemporary dance, jazz, ballet, hip-hop, house, breaking, the list goes on. But this curiosity of different dance styles and really wanting to invest in them and learn more than just the movement, where they come from, the different key leaders in creating those movement forms or choreographers of those movement forms, through learning that and having that curiosity, it gave me this need to want to learn more and know more. And I think that's so important for writing and editing, is you always have to be curious, because you want to be inspired to write about something that is important to you. And I think I get that now, even though it's not through physical dance, I get that now through interviewing different artists about their work or their life and how that all feeds into their own work. So yeah, I think that's where my curiosity now has gone. And I think there's also a lot of similarities between being a choreographer and being an editor. You have to master transitions and flow, distill movements and words into some kind of meaning for your audience, right? And then also using your own style and own way of communicating to create art. So there's definitely a lot of similarities in my training that have fed my current career.
So for young aspiring writers, editors alike, how can one actually develop into a good editor?
Of course, hard skills and passion that has to go into that. But I think developing into an editor wouldn't really be like one size fits all. But these might just be some ideas about how to get the ball rolling for those who are interested in this career path. I think naturally writers have something to say, and same with dancers. There's something you want to say, express, or explore through your movement. So as a writer, the pen and paper becomes your studio or your stage. And writing, and good writing, always starts from you and what is important to you. So once you find what it is that you want to write about, it does require research to back up your facts. So that's more of the hard skills, where you have to not only go off of your own opinion or what you're interested in writing about, you have to see what others have researched about it or written about it to help back up what it is you want to say. So you have to be good at finding reputable sources and conducting research. And after you've found these ingredients to help you write your article, then you'll start writing away. And it's important to find that structure and flow in your writing. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect the first time you've finished writing it. It definitely, it requires editing and going back and rereading your work. For me, when I'm editing, I always read my articles at least twice out loud, because I find there's something about saying the words out loud that allows you to find better ways of creating flow. I'd also recommend getting others to read your work when you first start writing professionally. And if you haven't quite developed a portfolio, it's good to start with your own blog. You don't really have the chances to write for other people, then start your own blog. And then quickly, maybe you could start offering, you know, doing some written work for friends or family members if they have websites or blogs for businesses. And by building your portfolio, that's where you're going to start getting noticed.
That's actually a really interesting point, Melinda, because I'm very big on the democratization of different professional roles, right? And you've even spoken about some of the challenges there of how to get noticed initially when starting out in this career. So for you, what have been some of the most challenging parts of dance journalism?
Yeah, it's a very niche market and a very small world at that. Like the dance world is already small, so the dance writing world is even smaller. Well, aside from getting opportunities to write about dance, that was the hardest part at first. But once you do get that chance, I think the most difficult part about actually writing in dance journalism is trying to read your own work, because it's important that the writing comes from you, but it's also got to communicate to more than just yourself to be effective. I think the same thing can be said actually for choreography as well, right? So I'd say the hardest part about dance journalism is being able to read your own work from outside yourself and seeing it from different perspectives, and then allowing that process to refine your writing until it speaks to more than just yourself.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit and focus on the organization you're working with right now. How long have you been with HK Dance Magazine, and how have you seen it progress ever since you joined them?
So I've been with Hong Kong Dance Magazine for 2 years now as the chief editor. And in that time, we've done more than just publish weekly website articles. That's what we started out with. Now we've progressed to publishing digital magazines, which we put out on Press Reader and Issue. And so far we've published 2 digital magazines, and our spring 2021 edition will be launching in April. So we're working hard at getting that out soon. And in that time, we've quickly reached readers from not only Hong Kong, but also around the world. So that's been really exciting. And we've interviewed some really influential dancers and artistic leaders, directors in dance, and from all different spectrums as well. So not just highly professional, pre-professional dancers, but also novice dancers, because I think it's important to hear from them as well and hear from the different spectrum of dancers out in the industry and the community right now. And we're trying to open up more a platform for people of all different dance styles to speak more about their dance styles as well, whether that's contemporary dance, ballet, Chinese dance, street dance, folk dance, circus. So it's really exciting to be able to give a platform for those who are heavily invested in those dance forms, a voice that they can bring out to represent their dance community.
I'm speaking with Melinda Gaskin, the chief editor and manager of the Hong Kong Dance Magazine, which was established in 2018. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, we continue our conversation about dance journalism. As promised, we will be starting our special shout-out segment, and the question for this episode was one that I posted on Instagram following up from episode 7, which was called Producing Progress featuring Bilquis Hijaz. And the question was, what is a skill that you learned just by doing? I will start with a dear friend of mine, Isabella Ng, who is currently based in the UK pursuing her master's in management. And of course, she said management. That was how I got into management as well. So thank you, Isabella. Alexandra, a film student here at the Academy of Arts in Banska Bystrica, said walking. Lovely. Julie, who is my colleague at Divatlo Studio Tansa, said cooking. Absolutely, I do think a lot of people learn cooking just by doing. And last but not least, we have Petra, who is a physiotherapist currently based in Bratislava, and she said every skill since she was young. Lovely too. I do believe a lot of us had to learn a lot of skills just by doing, because we had no other choice. So thank you all of you who have sent in all these lovely comments, lovely ideas. Remember, you can get in touch with me either through email or social media. I will be posting questions following up from previous episodes or ones regarding the upcoming episodes. So get in touch with me on social media, Facebook or Instagram. And let's get back to today's episode. My guest today is Melinda Gaskin, and we're talking about dance journalism and how to become a dance editor. As a student back then in HK, right? Like, the only thing that I could access for any sort of dance journalism was the HK Dance Journal. And that was it, basically. So finally, we have a new portal, a new platform for readers, not just locally, but internationally in HK Dance Magazine. And of course, that was what I also took out from the difference between you guys and everyone else, is that, oh yeah, and like, you're really allowing a little bit more autonomy, a little bit more democracy in the voices being heard. And then of course, you know, we have the pandemic now. So I'm really interested to know, how has the pandemic actually affected your writing and the content you produce?
So it's actually connected us with a lot of dancers from around the world that we probably wouldn't have had a chance to talk to or connect with before the pandemic, just because they're probably so busy. But with the pandemic, some dancers found themselves having more time and were really keen on collaborating with us. So it's allowed us to learn more about what struggles dancers were going through already, whether that's artistically, financially, and then now, even more so, some new challenges that they are facing, and learning about what they're doing to combat these challenges. So it's made for some really meaningful stories and articles that allow us to see dancers in a very human light.
And for you personally, how has maybe writing in such testing times, has that been harder, or has it been a bit more inspiring in some ways?
I think in the beginning it was hard in a sense, because I think everyone can relate in saying that they felt this sense of being lost when it all started. So I definitely felt that too, because you're so uncertain about the future. What you were always used to writing, and you have sort of a formula or method that works. Oh, I'm going to write about an event this week, or, do a profile on this dancer. That kind of all goes out the window when something like this happens, right? Because you don't know what the future holds. So in that sense, kind of shook things up, like having to almost start a new chapter. And of course, that's scary at first, and was a little bit difficult to navigate. But then soon after, it actually turned out to be surprisingly good, because we could reach out to people we normally wouldn't get a chance to talk to. And we were hearing a lot more stories and meaningful stories in that sense. So I do find it quite inspiring. And also to hear how other people are dealing with the pandemic, whether it's in Hong Kong or halfway around the world. And it gives you some sense of ease and feeling because you know you're not the only one who's feeling these feelings of like being lost or confused about what's going to happen next. And then on top of that, then you see what people are creating and the projects they're doing and the dances or dance films that people are making. That's definitely inspiring because it drives you to kind of flip the whole situation around and also think about, yeah, what can I do differently? You know, these are the cards I'm given. How do I work with that?
Well, a lot of what the background dancer is doing is also finding ways to expand yourself. And even actually for me personally, when the pandemic hit, I had a rude awakening and I started the podcast as a result of that. So sort of transitioning, sort of extending your repertoire. Maybe, yeah, there's always some light at the end of the tunnel here, a silver lining for even something as horrible as a pandemic. But personally for you, what makes the career of dance journalism a favorable one for dancers or non-dancers? Yeah, for anyone actually.
Studying dance for a long time has at one point or another dreamt about being a professional dancer, and that has driven their focus. And I also have been there. I've dreamt about being a professional dancer up until like just a few years ago. So, but where that shift in seeing what other careers in dance were available, where that shift happened for me is like after my first full-time job, I found that life quickly caught up with me. Actually, even just after school, after graduating school, that was probably the biggest shift is having graduated school after years and years of studying, because I just went back-to-back studying from my bachelor's degree into my master's. So after years of institutionalized dance training, is like a big shock when you come face to face with the real world. And I've definitely felt like kind of like a stranger to the real world. So writing had always been something that helped me navigate and figure out where I was and where I wanted to go next. And that definitely changed. But I didn't notice at that point in time that writing was so important to me and never clicked in my head that it could be something I could pursue as a career. So after a while of navigating the world of teaching dance and traveling and freelance performing, I really did feel this need to press pause because it was a lot going on. And I just wanted to be still for a moment, which is weird for a dancer. You never want to be still. But I had this need to just stop for a second. And that's when I found that, okay, like, an opportunity opened up where I was asked to write for someone else. And I realized how much I enjoyed that, writing and reflecting, and then starting my own blog at the same time. And I think dance journalism is definitely a favorable career path for anyone who wants it. And it speaks to you and you feel good about it. It makes you feel the same things that you felt about when you're dancing. That creativity, that artistry, constantly learning something new. So I think when you want something bad enough, you'll put your energy into it. At least what I know from dancers, my fellow dancers and myself, like you'll make it happen.
Hey, Jason here with a special message for you to help and continue serving our beloved performing arts community. So here's what you can do. Share this with one person you believe who this episode can benefit and attach a personal note explaining why. This way, you are not only helping me grow this show, but also adding value to those you truly care about. Massive appreciation, as it means the world to me. And let's get right back to the show. Like a lot of the training we experience either in institutions or outside, a lot of what we never or seldom actually realize is that we have a lot of transferable skills, right? Like when we learn dance, it's not just how to move, it's how we also operate in different settings and how we sort of network with different types of communities. So yeah, writing can be a very, very good career for many people who want to stay in the industry. I always tell people, whatever you do, try to stay in the industry. Don't leave us. We need you. We need you to contribute to the growth of our industry because we already are such a small one and we need more support systems. So what advice would you offer to people who are already doing that in the earlier stages of their writing careers or merely just interests?
Quality over quantity. Yes, that's important too, but it is important to build a portfolio. And sometimes in doing a lot of writing, you'll get better at seeing, oh, I didn't really like what I wrote there and kind of put that aside, or, oh, I really like this one. Like through the practice of doing a lot of writing, you get to know your voice and how you want to communicate. And I really do think it takes refining. Like the way I think of it is sort of like as a dancer, you love to improvise, like, or maybe there are some dancers who hate to improvise, but speaking from experience, I really like improvising and the freedom it has to that. But at the same time, that's where like more finite choreography pattern or structure comes into play because you can take the elements of your improvisation that you like and refine it into what you want to communicate into something clearer rather than sometimes improvisation for you could feel so great, but to the viewer's eye could just be, you know, a lot going on. And that's where like choreography comes into play. So I see that relationship with writing and editing. So when you first start writing, it's like improvising, write what you want to say, whether it's a reflection or purely documentation of something or a review on somebody's work, whether it's a dance film or a dance show, write, just write a lot. But then later, you'll be like a choreographer where you're going to come into that editing and really start to look at your work and think about how you could refine your writing. How can you communicate something more clearly? So I think that's a good place to start is from a dancer's perspective. Start with like kind of like improvisation like a dancer and then go into that editing route after you've developed that vocabulary.
So speaking of development, what do you envisage for yourself as a writer, but also as a dancer in the future?
Yeah, like I hope for myself, speaking of that same aspect of refining as a choreographer, a writer, I hope I can continue to do that because I don't think it ever stops, especially as time goes on. Things change, right? Your space changes as well, right? So you have to adapt to that. So I hope to continue refining my writing. I don't want to feel stuck or comfortable with just writing in one way. So that's something I definitely see myself wanting to grow in and develop. And it would be nice if my writing also reaches more people over time. As a dancer and my own dance practice, I'd say that part is tricky right now with the pandemic. I do feel kind of stuck with that because it's really made like solo practice kind of the only option at the moment. But I think that's something I want to look towards this coming year and push myself in changing and growing in would be finding ways of learning from other dancers, not only through interviews and my writing anymore, but through movement. I really want to bring that back into my practice this year.
Well, I hope this is something the start of something great and a confluence of many different career paths and many different, let's say, practices. So what do you wish for people to say or think about you when you have retired? I've been experimenting a little bit with this question with all my guests, and I'm just really interested to know how far can you sort of envisage into the future and what you hope you can achieve when you finally retire. Yeah.
I would say that finding pure confidence in my voice. Like, it's definitely been stronger than when I was, you know, a dance student 5 years ago. Yeah. And it's always getting better. But yeah, I would say, for looking far into the future, all I could hope for is that my voice as an artist, as a dancer, as a writer, as a human being is confident and strong.
All right, final question, bonus question. I've been also trying this a lot with my guests, you as a dancer and now an editor. What exactly makes a dancer for you?
Creativity, the artistry, the curiosity, because as a dancer, I think you always have to want and need to know more, to learn more, to discover and explore things. And then creativity, yeah, of course, like who wouldn't want to have that like very kindred spirit of freedom and expression and carefree sometimes? I think creativity is so important in making a dancer. And then artistry, knowing how to take all those elements and really give it life. Yeah, life and meaning. Yeah.
Beautiful. I think that pretty much wraps it up. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for your time, Melinda. And once again, it was such a pleasure to have you on The Background Dancer. Melinda Gaskin has been my guest today. She holds a Master's of Fine Arts from the Hong Kong Academy for Performing Arts. She was also a member of the Zuni Icosahedron Theatre Company and is currently the chief editor and manager of the Hong Kong Dance Magazine. Check out the show notes for more information regarding Melinda's personal work as well as her writing for the Hong Kong Dance Magazine. And once again, do follow and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to this. Follow on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. Do not forget to also subscribe to the email list to receive notifications regarding future content. And once again, appreciate your time. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe, comment, and leave a review on your designated podcast and social media platforms. If you found this interesting or helpful, feel free to share with members of your community so that they too may connect with us in our quest to foreground dance in the background. I am Jason Yup of The Background Dancer, and as always, catch you next time.
Calling all dance educators and leaders, whether it's through a professional development weekend, day or workshop, Lauren Ritchie is passionate about connecting with fellow educators who are in the trenches, pouring their hearts into their work with unwavering dedication. From navigating stress and perfectionism to fostering confidence and resilience in dancers, Lauren provides invaluable guidance on supporting students through every step of their journey. Because, let's face it, our work changes lives, and it's most impactful when teachers embrace, communicate, and practice mental skills themselves. Join her online teacher workshops and education sessions, where you explore topics like understanding the brain stages of your students, enhancing motivation, effective feedback strategies, preparing for competition, and fostering team cohesion. Ready to transform your teaching approach and empower your students like never before? Reach out today to learn more at www.withlauren.ca/teacher-workshops or click the link in the show notes below.